Gwyneth Chambers has a response to the Armie Hammer fiasco, and it involves Timothy Chalamet. Zendaya is reminding people that she is, in fact, an adult. And we're talking all about the new season of Apple TV Plus's series, Dickinson. It's January 29th, 2021. Hey friends, I'm Casey Rackham. Today we have another very special guest co-host. She's BuzzFeed's TV editor, the one and only Nora Dominic. Hello, Nora. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm so happy to see you here. You know, a face, not just on Slack all the time.
I know. It's been forever, it feels like.
I know, it has. Okay, so we need to talk about this first story because... My brain hurts.
I can't. I can't even.
Okay, so news that just makes you go, oh, why, God, why? Timothée Chalamet may be set to star in a film about, wait for it, a cannibal love story. Luca Guadagnino, who directed Chalamet and Armie Hammer in Call Me By Your Name, is set to next take on an adaptation of Bones and All, according to Deadline. It's described as a film that follows Maren Yearly on a cross-country trip as she searches for the father she never met in an attempt to understand why she has the urge to kill and eat the people that love her. Taylor Russell would take the lead role alongside Chalamet, and if you're disgusted by this news, you're not alone. Elizabeth Chambers, Armie Hammer's ex-wife, simply posted the phrase, no comment, under a Just Jared post that explained the project. And no, Hammer is not expected to have a role in that film. My God, Nora, what?
I saw the tweet about it last night and I literally had to Google to make sure it wasn't a fake news story. Like, I was like, is this the world we're living in where he's starring in a cannibal movie?
I'm just so confused why Chalamet took this role. Like, is it like a secret wink? Is it just because he wanted to? Like, what?
Were they like getting ready to do Call Me By Your Name too? And they were like, let's pivot.
Unrelated project. Completely
we'll
unrelated.
Get rid of Armie, but we'll make it about cannibals. No one will get it. It'll be great.
Oh my God. It's just so absurd. I do not know what this month has been. I do not know.
I feel like we're living in a really bad movie and this was kind of the cherry on top of it all. So meanwhile, Zendaya is reminding people she's a grown-ass woman. For context, Zendaya is getting flack about her new film, Malcolm and Marie, where she stars opposite John David Washington. The two are romantically involved in the film, and Zendaya is 24 while John is 36. So people have been pointing out the 12-year age gap. Zendaya stated, people often forget, which is understandable because I've been playing 16 since I was 16, you know, but I am grown, Zendaya said on People, the TV show. I knew that as I grow and as I evolve, there would be that moment where I could play someone my own age.
I'm always like, when it comes to a celebrity, I'm always like, don't want to be like, oh, I feel so bad for them because they're a celebrity. But also I do, because I mean, that sucks. It's very much like a JoJo Siwa situation where you're like,
absolutely,
where you're just like, hey guys, I'm not that age. I'm not a preteen for forever.
And I feel like people still haven't gotten over her jump from Disney Channel star to Euphoria star. Right. So then this is just an added jump.
But that's also ridiculous because like in Euphoria, she's also playing a teenager, right?
Yeah.
So it's just kind
of now
like...
it's like she has to be a grown human with like problems. And it'll be a jump.
I know. Wait, you'll know this. Who is that actor who's been in every teen show, like Teen Wolf, everything, but she's like in her 30s, but she constantly plays a teenager?
Bianca Lawson.
Yes.
But all the way back to Buffy.
Yes. She's been playing a teen since literally Buffy. Yes. Okay. So, Nora, this is a fun one for me. You know, when we asked you to come and be a guest host today, we asked you what you wanted to talk about, and you said Dickinson, the Apple TV Plus show starring Hailee Steinfeld. And then we were like, oh, okay, who should we have on to interview? And, you know, there's literally no better expert on it than you at this point. So you are also our interview today, you know? So I'm excited. The second season is currently airing. It's getting a lot of buzz. How excited are you to dive into this?
First of all, this is the most Nora issue to ever occur that I have to be the interview because I know as much about Dickinson as I do. I'm so excited. This is one of my favorite underrated shows right now. I'm really excited to talk about it.
Me too. You know, I'm only halfway through the first season because I actually started 2 weeks ago. And it just took me a while because I did not have Apple TV. But yeah. Now I do. So I'm on board. So
it's so good.
So for people who don't know, what is the show about and who's in it?
Yeah, so it stars Hailee Steinfeld, Jane Krakowski, Ella Hunt. It's created by Elena Smith, and it's basically a retelling of Emily Dickinson's life before her poems really got famous. Mm-hmm. So it's basically about like the girl behind the famous poet we all know.
Yes, and let me tell you, when I saw Jane Krakowski pop up, I was like, I literally was like, oh, what? This show just got even better.
Because,
yeah, it was very jarring, and I was like, what kooky presence is she about to bring? to the show. Okay, so how is this Emily Dickinson different from the one we were taught about in school?
Yeah, so this Emily Dickinson is really fun. And Hailee, if you've watched any of Hailee's other roles, she brings a lot of what I can imagine is herself to the role. Like, it's really, she's fun and she like doesn't take herself too seriously. And it's kind of refreshing to see like a lead female character that's like, not afraid to be quirky and odd and mess up. So that's what like I really enjoy about it. And I think that's something fresh and new.
Yeah, it very much feels like, okay, yes, this is a period piece, but it very much feels like it takes place in present day, but except they're wearing corsets. Like that is exactly. Like what the difference is here. And then I am positive you had the same reaction I did when you turn it on and then all of a sudden you go, gay?
Yeah, I think it was literally like a bunch of my friends and I being like, oh, we're watching this now, right? Like, I think that was the literal reaction. And I love Ella Hunt. She was in this movie, Anna and the Apocalypse, which I loved. And so I was like, oh, she's going to be great in this. And then I was like, oh, we're doing Emily and Sue. Like, this is happening.
Right. Okay. So you say Emily and Sue, and we were definitely not taught this in high school. But
no.
One of the biggest elements of the show is that we're reclaiming Emily Dickinson as a queer person, because as far as we can tell, she was a queer person.
Yes. And it's so great because in the first episode, it's like right out of the gate. It's like, we're not like these poems were a lot of them were about Sue. And like, that's what the show is going to be about.
Okay,
so it's
wait,
like super cool.
Because we keep saying Sue, can you tell the audience who Sue is in relation to Emily?
Listen, Sue currently is, well, in season one, she's, you know, romantically linked to Emily's brother.
We're just rolling with that. In historical context, spoiler, Sue was married to Emily's brother. They were sister-in-laws, if we're getting real.
Yep. So, you know, there's some, you know, hurdles we have to jump, if you will.
So we know that they're sister-in-laws. Can you talk about like what is rooted in fact between their relationship and the show?
So a lot of it is rooted in the fact that like they were very close in real life, and you can get that from everything we know about Emily Dickinson. And like you said, there's always been kind of this queer subtext to Emily Dickinson and who her poems were about and anything like that. So it's really taking that and bringing it to the forefront in the show.
Amazing. Okay, so it's time to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to keep on diving into Dickinson. Welcome back. We're talking with Nora Dominic about the Apple TV Plus show Dickinson. I want to play a quick clip for you here.
Tonight we hold this gathering to reflect. Personally, I've been feeling a lot of uncertainty.
Classic Sagittarius.
Oh, great spirits.
Should I seek fame?
Does anybody else have any intentions?
I want to make spooky shit happen and get paid.
I'm sorry, was that Debris? Was that her voice? Did I just hear that?
It definitely was.
Amazing.
That was her.
Okay, so this soundbite we just played for you really illustrates what we want to get into here. This isn't a straight-laced period drama. There is so much humor and wit. How does that set this show apart?
It's so fun. It kind of reminds me of the Hulu show The Great as well.
Oh, yes,
they're both really good at taking these historical figures we know, but like like you kind of said earlier, like making it feel like present day. And like they do it a lot with like the cast and the dialogue and the music. And so it's just, it brings it to present day, but you're still talking about these characters in the context of where they were then.
Yes. Okay. I also want to talk about this because I thought about when I heard the Sagittarius drop. Do you know what's so funny? Is that, okay, so if Dickinson was a Sagittarius, Jane Austen was also a Sagittarius. And I think that that really, Sagittariuses are like wild.
And I'm a Sagittarius.
Oh my God. Yeah. Nora, I'm going to study you a little bit because Sagittariuses are the number one sign I don't really understand. And I actually,
But
I actually think that's a part of being a Sagittarius. You are so, your mind is wild. Like, it's just like, you can't pin them down. Like,
I'm
Dickinson.
Literally all over the place.
But to keep talking about astrology, it's like, it's what we're talking about. This is also a show that's of its time, but is also not. You hear the references to astrology. I also, like, in the first or second episode, there's a lot of, like, cursing and, like, words that were not said back in Dickinson's time are said. It's a very modern feel. And some people are comparing this to Sophia Coppola's take on Marie Antoinette. Does that feel accurate to you?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of making historical figures attainable for a modern audience. Like, you don't want to sit there. Like, listen, Little Women is one of my favorite movies, like Greta Gerwig's version. Yeah. And like, I love being in that world then. But there's something so nice and refreshing, like you said, like hearing them swear and hearing them, like, they'll say like modern words, but put it in the context of then. And it's just like so fun and refreshing. And it keeps the show like moving at a great pace, which I love, which I think Marie Antoinette did as well.
Yeah, it really does. And the music is phenomenal. Like, it's a very so just good. Like, it really like takes you out of whatever you're watching. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. But okay, like Marie Antoinette, it's giving us a different point of view on a misunderstood historical figure. And you know, we're talking about how it's modern and stuff like that and all the cool things it's doing. But also at its heart, isn't this a coming of age story about dealing with love and fame and just like, that is what carries the show, you know?
Yeah, I really think so, because at the end of the day, some of the best moments are like Haley's Emily dealing with like, does she want to be famous? Like, is this something she wants?
Right.
And then it's like, she's like, but I can't keep writing poetry for myself and Sue, so I gotta do something. And it's just like, it's so wholesome, but also just like so funny. And like you said, like Jane Krakowski is like trying to play an earnest mother, but still being Jane.
Yeah, so she's just still, like, she's so still Jane. Funny. And then I love, I don't know the actor who plays her, but Emily's sister is funny to me. She's just trying to get married. She's just trying to like live her life.
Season two, I think she's one of my favorite characters.
She's
so good and so funny. And yeah, it just like carries the show.
Okay, because I cannot stop talking about Sue. Also, for listeners, so you might be like, how did we know Emily was queer? How'd we really know? Nora, like, how many poems did she write for Sue where she was basically like, I want to kiss you?
Like 100. You'd have to fact check me, but I'm going with it's like 100.
Like, it was explicitly clear what their relationship was.
And you know that it's not like odd or off base, because the show will like full on read real Emily Dickinson poems in the context of Emily and Sue. And so you're just rolling with the show going like, oh, this makes total sense. So they didn't have to change anything.
You know, also why I'm also thinking Emily's so relatable in this. And you know, this is, I guess, my memory of learning about her in high school. Did it carry over? But my dudes, Emily is obsessed with death. And Gen Z's also obsessed with death. So I feel like it's a very like relatable situation that's happening.
It's so good. And she like, it's phenomenal because she's making Emily, like you said, like I feel like I'd be best friends with Emily,
right?
Like I feel like we'd chat and have fun and we joke about that kind of thing. Also, like Wiz Khalifa playing death,
yes,
is the best thing to ever happen. And it again makes the whole Emily thing like you said, like she's a millennial, she's a Gen Z,
right?
She's exactly that, but right, you're looking at her in the historical context.
And all this credit, or not all of it, but a lot of it goes to Hailee Steinfeld, you know, like she's doing such a great job playing Emily. Do you see anyone else on the show or her being an award season contender?
Listen, you know me well enough. I am a huge underdog when it comes to, like, I love an underdog TV show, like Tatiana Maslany winning
Emmy. How long did that take? I cried. Yeah. Oh, and then we had to wait for Schitt's Creek for seasons. Yes. And we're rooting for the underdog too.
Even Fleabag. So I think Dickinson is an underdog. And I think what's really helpful now is Apple TV Plus has been in its second year, and people have really realized it's got a lot of great content. I think
Ted Lasso, everyone watch Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso, The Morning Show, For All Mankind, like they're all so good. And I think now not only are critics flocking to these shows, but I think people are realizing like, oh, we should be watching this. They've got a lot of great talent.
Right.
Like, Brie Larson just signed on to do a show with them. Like Sarah Bareilles has another one coming up. And so I think that's really in Dickinson's corner as well.
Yeah. So, okay. I want to know, because, you know, I feel like the world is so invested in period dramas right now, historical or fictional. You know, we've got Bridgerton, we have The Great, we have Dickinson, et cetera. You know, Frida Kahlo is having a new series produced about her life. Is there another historical figure whose life you'd like to see brought to life?
Listen, I would love like an HBO Joan of Arc series. Ooh. Maybe this is just me.
It is not just you.
But I would run to it. I would flock to it. I think it'd be so good. And I just think, like you said, like Bridgerton and The Great, like, and Dickinson, like there's a real power to having these female characters at the forefront of these shows, and like getting to see your current life reflected in the historical times, even with Bridgerton.
Oh my God, I just decided I know what I want. This is not a part of history. It is fictional. I would like a Disney Plus Marvel TV show about the first 45 minutes of Wonder Woman when they're on.
Yes.
What is that world place called again?
The mascara.
Yeah, I want that. I want a show where there's literally no men. It's just women.
Maybe that's what we want. That's the common thread. That's what we want.
Well, Nora, thank you so much for coming on today. I had so much fun. My morning has been great.
Anytime. This is always a blast. I have so much fun.
Well, listeners, that's it for today. Be sure to join us on Monday.
And remember, Emily Dickinson is officially the queer icon we all need and want. History and English teachers, get with it.
Oh, get with it, guys.
BuzzFeed Daily is produced by Dan Bauza, Alan Haberchak, Julia Karen, and Erica Nedanine.
Special thanks to Tracy Ayers, Monkesh Shatikadar, Samantha Hennig, and Tommy Wesley.
Be sure to subscribe to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you go for your sound stories.
And please take the time to leave us a rating and a review. It helps us figure out what you like about the show versus what you love about the show. And remember to come back for more of what you love about BuzzFeed, coming to you daily.